You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 17th, 2020, new developments involving the President's Defense Counsel as he moves into this impeachment charade pushed forward by the House, now into the Senate. Former Independent Counsel Kenneth Starr and Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz joining President Trump's impeachment legal team. That's not going to be good for those Democrats. They can't come up with anyone that really has any value, and now they're going to have to face off against thoughts and opinions from Kenneth Starr and Alan Dershowitz. Well, by the way, still, I'm sure some Democrats are smiling today for one of the most bizarre and disgusting reasons. I'll tell you that in a moment. In the meantime, the Justice Department now investigating whether former FBI Director James Comey illegally leaked information concerning a Russian document to the New York Times and the Washington Post. Now, they're downplaying it as maybe a legal issue, but they're still saying it is under investigation. And then there is apparently a communication between Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democrat of Florida at the time, and chairman of the Democrat National Committee, along with a representative of the George Soros-founded group, Open Society Foundations. And Schultz, in this document, apparently, if it's real, said to the George Soros guy, Attorney General Loretta Lynch will ensure Clinton is not going to be prosecuted in her email probe. Oh, there's a lot to investigate there. You think they'll ever get to it? I do know one GOP senator has already said, listen, I cannot imagine putting up with these Democrats coming in here. I'm already tired of listening to them. We'll get into that a little bit later. Mayor Bill de Blasio continues to defend sanctuary city policies despite an illegal alien that the New York City Police Department turned loose, did not hold him for Immigration and Customs to pick up. And then according to investigators and the prosecution, and even by his own words, he ends up attacking a 90-year-old woman, beating her, nearly raping her, at least exposing himself to her, and said, well, my pants just fell down and my penis fell near her. And de Blasio wants to defend this? We're going to get into that in more detail. And a lot of folks keep asking, how can Trump have evangelical support? I mean, he's not a good guy. He's not a good Christian. He says things nasty and so forth. He's not good. Well, there's a pastor that's going to explain why Trump continues to have evangelical support. And while we're on that subject, let's talk about prayer in school and something Trump has done regarding prayer in school. And then we have the story of a CNN reporter being called a hack by a U.S. senator. And CNN goes ballistic. Also, I had placed on Larry Connors USA Facebook last night some video that had come to me and purporting to be video of the volcano exploding at White Island last year near New Zealand. Several left dead. Devastation, clear devastation, and some missing, never to be found again. And when I was watching it, it was on small screen. I couldn't quite make out all of it. I sent it to Quentin, my director, and asked him to put it up. He said, I see some problems with this. I said, well, let's do some more investigation. But I do, from time to time, like to put the stories up like this to show you what is circulating on social media and maybe raise questions. Is it real? Is it not? Everything right now points to this is not true, not real, but I still think you'll want to take a look at the video. And when you see it on your social media page at some point, you'll understand. It's right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can go there and see it right now. I mentioned earlier, Democrats are smiling for disgusting reasons, some of them. You know why? Because the Iran supreme leader, the Ayatollah, has used a phrase and description about President Trump, which they have used repeatedly, and I'm sure they're rejoicing. The Ayatollah is doing like we are. They're calling Donald Trump a clown. So they side with the Ayatollah over President Trump. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Despite Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler's and Adam Schiff's best efforts, what we heard read on the Senate floor today simply does not add up to the constitutional standard of impeaching and certainly not removing a president from office. So we'll listen to what they have to say, although I got to say, just listening to 20 minutes of Adam Schiff was already pretty taxing today. I can't imagine 24 hours of it. But it's hard to imagine what else they might marshal to support their farcical process that led to this moment coming out of the House.
The words of Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas, appearing on Tucker Carlson. I had to laugh when he said, after listening to 20 minutes of Jerry Nadler, that this farce, I cannot imagine 24 hours of listening to the Democrats, blah, 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 same old thing they've been peddling. It is stinking and as smelly and as rotten as fish 7-8 days old left in the sun. But for them, it's a brand new day and a brand new charge. Now, I'd mentioned earlier that former independent counsel Kenneth Starr and Harvard Law professor Dershowitz are joining President Trump's legal team. The statement coming from the legal team, Professor Dershowitz will present oral arguments at the Senate trial to address the constitutional arguments against impeachment and removal. And right there, we're going to have a stopgap as far as the Democrats go, because they have indicted through the House and sent to the Senate for impeachment, indicted President Trump on charges of abuse of Congress, obstruction of Congress, which every U.S. president has done at one time or another, obstructing something Congress wanted to be done. It's called the check and balance system. And also they indicted him on abuse of power, which that could be anything. He insists on having table with a white tablecloth with his name in the center of it, and that's an abuse of power. Neither one of those exist in the U.S. Constitution. So Dershowitz presenting oral arguments addressing the constitutional arguments against impeachment and removal will clearly narrow in on and again implode those arguments. They do not exist as impeachment issues under the U.S. Constitution. It's been pointed out that Dershowitz is nonpartisan when it comes to the Constitution. And he did oppose the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. And he voted for Hillary Clinton. But on this issue, he believes the issues at stake go to the very heart of our Constitution, according to remarks from the legal team. And Dershowitz said, the president asked me to do this. The legal team asked me to do this. Starr is, of course, a former federal appeals court judge who headed up the investigation into the Whitewater, the Monica Lewinsky scandals. And the last report hasn't really confirmed he's going to be on it, but by all indications are he will be. The White House counsel will lead, along with Trump's personal attorney, actually lead the defense team. And, of course, they'll be facing off against the prosecution, or they call them House managers, that Nancy Pelosi selected to present their case. And, of course, House Intel Committee Chairman, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, Representatives Hakeem Jeffries, Val Demings, Zoe Lofgren, Jason Crow, Sylvia Garcia. All of that to present bogus charges, absolutely bogus charges. And a lot of folks have been considering that Nancy Pelosi, she's on the Democrat side. I haven't. But a lot of them have said she is such a master strategist, the way she's kind of worked around this thing and didn't want it, indicates she didn't want it. And then when she got it, she got it like taking a bull by the horns and did it the way it should be done and then held it off to just the right time to time it all out and then in a flourish with these pens that she handed out as souvenirs, signing off the legislation to send it over, and then her managers solemnly walked it across the hall to the Senate as if they were carrying a casket, and they were talking about how she's such a great strategist. Senator Tom Cotton has some thoughts about how great of a political strategist she is, and also about the issues of calling a witness or two.
You may not be an expert in strategy, but I don't think Nancy Pelosi is either. I know the left-wing media is always celebrating her, but after what we saw yesterday with those gold embossed pins, I think Nancy is anything but a master strategist here.
I agree with that.
As for Hunter Biden, if we're going to have any witnesses, I think Hunter Biden would be at the very top of the list of witnesses the president would want to call. I don't know, though, what the president and his legal team have decided, whether they want to call witnesses at all or whether they want to move straight to a final vote after arguments and questions from senators. Obviously, they'll play a big role in that. But one thing I can say is that we're not going to have a situation where just the Democrats are calling witnesses. If the Democrats call witnesses, then the president will be able to call witnesses as well.
And to that extent, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas has said, we're going to have reciprocity. Just like you heard from Senator Cotton, you call a witness, we'll call a witness. You call a second witness, we'll call a second witness. And I don't think the Democrats are going to want to go down that line. We're already seeing House Judiciary Committee Chairman, House Impeachment Manager, Jerry Nadler, stating this. This tells you everything, by the way. He said, we did not hear from many of the witnesses we should have during our impeachment proceedings. But we've heard from enough witnesses to prove the case beyond any doubt at all. In other words, we don't need no more stinking witnesses. And you know the witnesses that will be called by the GOP, Hunter Biden, and also the whistleblower, and Adam Schiff, to get him on the stand, testifying as to what he knew or did not know about the whistleblower and how he lied about it to members of Congress. And we will have the other House managers, Jerry Nadler, And we'll have Hunter Biden, as we said, and former Vice President Biden, all of that. So I don't think the Democrats want to go down that road. It could be a frightening walk through a graveyard for those guys. They have already done what they can, buried whatever evidence they thought they could get away with burying, and just trying to make everything look like from here on out, it's the Democrats all the way. Now, the question, of course, would be, are we going to do this in a hurry or not? If you're going to add witnesses, it's going to add length and time. And we already heard from the White House that they expect this to be done within 2 weeks. Here's the timetable. If this thing were to start next Monday, you have a full 2 weeks, Monday through Friday, before you hit Feb, and the Tuesday in Feb, the first Tuesday, the 4th, is when the president should make his State of the Union address. Will this be concluded by then? Would it be advantageous for the White House to have it over with? Would it be better for the Democrats to keep it alive? And also in those 2 weeks, you've got four senators who are trying to campaign to be the next president that would be locked up in the Senate and having to sit there and listen to testimony and keeping their mouths shut about it. And they can't be on the campaign trail when they want to be at the very most senators Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar, and Bennett, which means Joe Biden and Bloomberg are free to roam about the country, along with Tom Steyer, and collect as many votes as they can while the other senators are locked down. Senator Cotton, what about this issue, length versus the fairness?
More important than the length of the trial is that the trial be fair and even-handed, which the president didn't receive in the House of Representatives. We do not want to set a new political standard, a precedent going forward for the ages, that an enraged partisan majority in the House can ram through on a party-line vote articles of impeachment and then see a similar process in the Senate. We want to do this in a fair and even-handed way that gives the president his chance to finally make his case and to teach not just this House majority, in case they're thinking about impeaching Donald Trump again, but future House majorities, that there's no political benefit to be gained in this kind of ramshackle impeachment.
You know, he hit on something that the Democrats have already put on the table, that we're ready to go back for more impeachment articles. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're already plotting to come back at the president again after this is over with and refile additional impeachment articles, come up with something else this time around. This is a clear example and verification of the resist movement and the hate movement against this president from day one. From day one. The night Trump accepted the election vote and Hillary had conceded. Oh, I would have loved to have been a fly in the room when she's with her staff and she had to make that call to Trump. Someday somebody's going to come out with that inside story. And I hope they have audio tape and videotape. But anyway, on that night, Trump said, let us put all this behind us. Let's move forward together as a nation. Now, you'd expect any candidate to say that. Trump said it. And, of course, since he said it, the resist movement believes he was lying and never intended to do that. And they point to all the things he's done targeting Democrats with names and everything else since then. Well, the point is, he never got a chance to prove that he could be above the fray and help lead us forward, because they started immediately not just nipping at his heels, but trying to kneecap him and shove him down, steamroll over him, and just go crazy incensed on the streets of D.C. even. Well, now we're at this point of this impeachment. Senator Cotton, as you heard a moment ago, said, like, I think we should be more concerned about the fairness and the length. And we know some senators want to call witnesses. They want to bring witnesses. They want that door open. And on one hand, I've always been for it. Let's just gut it all out on the Senate floor. Expose everything. But others are just saying, And the White House is indicating they're going to try to do it quickly. But others are saying, such as Senator Lindsey Graham, don't give any more air to this stupid idea from the Democrats.
My belief, the best thing for the country is to decide the case based on the evidence assembled in the House and not expand the record. Do not call anybody covered by executive privilege because the president was not allowed to invoke it. The Senate should not deny the president the ability to invoke executive privilege. Then you have to stop the trial and go to court for months. As to Hunter Biden, I'd like to look at what he did outside of impeachment. But if you want a witness, then do what Ted Cruz says. Everybody gets witnesses. If you want to turn the trial into complete circus, you're allowed to do that, but not with my vote.
Good. And Senator Graham says, if we're going to call the witnesses, go ahead, but not with my vote. He's not in favor of doing that. And we're going to see how it plays out. And again, we're hearing from some of the Democrats, as I read a moment ago from Congressman Nadler, we've heard enough. We've got enough witnesses. We don't need any more. Does that tell you that they're a little frightened to open that door up again? Let's just keep it locked and closed, keep those other witnesses, the whistleblower and the rest of them behind the doors? It does to me. And we'll see if it plays out that way. In the meantime, the Democrats trying to be the next president to unseat Donald Trump are blowing in the wind and not affecting anything. And wait to hear what's happening in Iowa. We have that story and more, of course, coming up right after this break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you want a sure bet in life, I would put my money on Donald Trump will not be impeached by the Senate controlled by Republicans. There are questions about some Republicans, though, as to if they'll go to the other side. And one of them, Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, is very upset. I've been mischaracterized and folks misunderstand my impeachment stance. I have not made a decision on any particular witness, if we're going to have any witnesses or not. I want to hear from both sides. I'm not pre-deciding if Trump did or did not do anything wrong. Now, she is facing election, re-election, her fifth term if re-elected. She already has the Democrats against her trying to flip her seat because she supported President Trump's tax legislation in 2017 and her pivotal role in helping confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh in 2018. So there's nothing to be gained for her suddenly going with the Democrats. They're going to come at her for those other 2 points anyway. So in the end, she will go with the majority or maybe vote simply present. Who knows beyond that? We are 2.5 weeks to go until the Iowa caucuses kick off the presidential nominating calendar. And a report from Fox News looking at a survey and checking and just looking at surveys in general finds a lot of Democrat voters undecided, conflicted, I don't know. The two latest in Iowa indicating a lot of voters are going to take part in that presidential caucus February 3rd. But where they're going to go and how they're going to vote, well, that's not too sure. A Monmouth University survey indicating 4 in 10 say there's a moderate chance they'll switch their support to another candidate by caucus night. In other words, if they tell you right now they're going to go for Bernie, 4 out of 10 by caucus night will say, I'm going to go with Warren. And a Des Moines Register CNN poll showed that 4 in 10 say they've definitely made up their minds. In other words, that 4 out of 10 in that survey said, I'm not changing my view. So those are two different looks at it. In some of the interviews along the street, you hear some interesting comments. One Iowa voter asking on which candidate's leaning toward Warren, Biden. It used to be Bernie. Now it's between Bernie and Pete. That's her attitude. An Iowa radio news director who's been covering these caucuses for more than 30 years said, you really have sort of a four-way tie here. And if Senator Amy Klobuchar can get some momentum, you'll have a five-way tie. And among the four, she's talking about Biden, Sanders, Warren, and Buttigieg. And then they did a little run through a bakery in the East Village neighborhood of Des Moines, Iowa, and asking folks, and they got things like this. Well, one said, I haven't made up my mind yet. She said part of the problem is the size of the still large field. They just too many people for me to concentrate on one. Another one saying the big issue for me is beating President Trump. And still another one admitting I'm undecided. And apparently at one table away, someone else said, I'm extremely impressed with Mayor Pete, but I don't know. And one said, I just want to be a realist. At the end of the day, we have to have a candidate in the Democrat Party who's able to get elected. Well, might as well order another bagel, sit there and talk about that for a while. Just chew on it. It ain't going to happen. Coming up, how important was the killing of Soleimani for the Middle East? Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So today, for the first time since 2012, Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah, conducted prayers in Tehran. He used that platform to praise his country's retaliatory strike against the U.S. after we killed their top general, Soleimani. And by the way, new information has come forward. We were told that those rocket attacks that were fired from Iran and into Iraq and hitting bases where we had troops killed no U.S. soldiers, and that is still apparently a fact. However, we were given the impression the injuries, if they were at all, they were slight. Well, apparently almost 20 U.S. soldiers have now been shipped out of the region for additional treatment for concussions and maybe other injuries. But now, for the first time since 2012, the Ayatollah conducts his prayers in Tehran, and in that, he said the villainous U.S. government repeatedly says they are standing by the Iranian people. They lie. If they're standing with the Iranian people, it is only to stab them in the heart with their venomous daggers. So says the Ayatollah. And then he said something which reflects and echoes Democrats. And I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are smiling, kind of giggling, because of what the Ayatollah said about President Trump. You think I'm too far with that? You think I'm going overboard with that? Well, that's your opinion. My point being is that he, the Ayatollah, the Iran supreme leader, said that Donald Trump is a clown. How many times have we heard Democrats call him a clown and other names? Yeah, I still think there are some Democrats out there that, just as they will pause and look solemn as they're advancing their vote in impeachment, and yet turn around and smile and laugh and exchange and pass along congratulatory pens, that some of them are out there smiling because, see, the Ayatollah calls him a clown too, as if that's going to change anything. When we took out Soleimani, there were reports that this was so big because of his imprint across the Middle East. There was a piece written, an opinion piece, in the Wall Street Journal by Karim Sajjanpour. He's with the Carnegie Foundation for International Peace. And he was on Fox News discussing a Pew Research Report survey. The Pew Research question for American public, was it the right decision or the wrong decision to take out Soleimani, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard military leader? 48%. Only 48% of Americans asked, was it the right decision, said it was right. Only 48. I cannot understand how you can come up with such a low number. Where are you living that you don't recognize how valuable this target was and this guy responsible for 600 American lives directly? And on top of 48% saying it's right, 43% said it was wrong. I'm pointing out to you again, this was taken among U.S. citizens. So a question to Karim Sajjanpour, who wrote this Wall Street Journal article titled The Sinister Genius of Soleimani, who's with the Carnegie Foundation for International Peace. The question asked for him is, would we have seen the same or similar numbers if you asked the same question in Iran? And again, keep in mind, in the U.S., it was asked, was it right or wrong to take out Soleimani? 48% of the Americans surveyed said, yes, it was right, only 48%. And 43% said it was a wrong decision to take him out. So again, for Sajjanpour, if that same question were placed in Iran, would it be similar to those results?
It's tough to say, Brett, because it's impossible to do true public opinion polling in Iran. But Iran is a polarized society. I think to many Iranians, Qasem Soleimani was a war hero. And to many other Iranians, he was the symbol of the police state, which they've been living under for decades. So I would imagine it would be similarly mixed in Iran.
Well, as he pointed out, you're not going to get a true public opinion in Iran. Now, if you're doing it where the leadership is watching you, would you dare do that? Would you dare, if you were an Iranian citizen standing in the streets of Iran and someone came and asked, do you think it was right to kill Soleimani? Say, yeah, it was. And would you dare do that? See, here in this country, we can have our divisive opinions. Your First Amendment right. No one's going to kill you. They might attack you. They might verbally. They might even physically attack you. But the government itself will not do that because it is your freedom of speech. You can kiss that goodbye if you go into some of those countries. That's what many in the elite Hollywood and leftist liberals just don't get. They want to believe the whole world's going to be all happy, 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 singing kumbaya. It ain't going to happen, not in those parts of the world. But this issue about Soleimani, how important was he? Well, again, Karim Sajjanpour, in his piece he wrote for the Wall Street Journal, said, under Soleimani's command, Iran became the only country in the region capable of harnessing both Shia extremism and at times Sunni radicalism as well. His sinister genius in bridging sectarian divides has given Iran an enormous asymmetric advantage over its great Sunni Arab rival in the Gulf, Saudi Arabia. In other words, he was fostering, creating coalitions and so forth that were going to have impact all across the Mideast.
I think few individuals in the last 30, 40 years have been involved in more conflicts in more countries over a longer period of time than Qasem Soleimani. And as I wrote in the Wall Street Journal piece, I think what was very effective about him is he figured out not only how to harness Shiite radicalism against the United States, but also Sunni radicalism, you know, in the form of at times Al-Qaeda, at times the Taliban, at times Hamas and the Palestinian territory.
And it was also pointed out in his article that during the Obama administration, Tehran was providing weapons and training inside Iran to Taliban insurgents targeting U.S. troops. And in 2018, Israel's top general said Iran had increased its funding in the Gaza Strip for Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad to $100 million a year. And that $100 million a year, it came direct from the U.S., maybe on that plane load of $1 billion sent overnight. Are the other $150 billion released by the Obama administration funding terrorism? And the question now, though, in the Middle East, and in Iran in particular, Soleimani, as great of a threat as he was, now as a martyr, is he greater dead than he was alive?
I really think this is one of those decisions that we're not going to be able to understand the full impact of it years from now. If you talk to a lot of Syrians and Iraqis, they're very happy that Qasem Soleimani is no longer around to repress them. The danger is that we may have radicalized some radical elements within the regime.
In other words, they are glad he's gone. But at the same time, and we knew this, it would radicalize others. In that part of the world, martyrs are made by simply strapping on a suicide vest and walking in to a target of innocence, usually. So a general who is overseeing all of it and orchestrating such terrorist attacks, plotting them against U.S. soldiers, U.S. citizens, U.S. targets, as well as Israeli citizens and targets, as well as other Muslim targets, well, of course he's going to be considered a martyr. And as he pointed out in his article, Sajapour said, no one in Iraq, I'm sorry, he's quoting a military officer, a former military intel officer. No one in Iraq will say it publicly, at least not yet, but most Iraqi politicians hated Soleimani. That's Iraq, where he was, of course, in charge. They resented his, I'm sorry, where he was in charge in Iran, but talking about the Iraq leaders. They resented his heavy-handedness, its instructions on what they had to do and what not to do. And they feared his constantly implied threat that it had them assassinated if they did not toe the line. Now, we've seen street protests trying to overturn the regime of Iran. Does Sajapour think those street protests will actually continue?
I think protests are going to continue in Iran. I think many Iranians associated themselves far more with the victims of the plane crash than they did with the person of Qasem Soleimani. But this is a regime which is incredibly ruthless and committed to staying in power. So I think the prospects for major political change in Iran aren't great in the near term.
And his point being made that many of those in the streets feel more for the victims in that plane shot down by their Iranian forces than they do the Iranian leadership. And if they go in the streets to protest, they take their lives into their own hands. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this piece of video I put up on Facebook purporting to be a volcanic explosion. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For those who have followed this program over the last several years, know that from time to time, either on Facebook or directly on the program, or a combination of the two, I deal with a social media trending event, which may or may not be true, may or may not have fact, may or may not be half true, may or may not be completely true, but misinterpreted. In other words, nowadays, as we've talked about before, social media means anything and everything can happen. So many times it's a good idea to see it, focus on it, put it in context. Now, you could disagree with my context, my approach on it, and that's certainly your freedom. But I think, again, it's akin, as I've often told journalism students for decades, if I go out on the street today with a pillowcase full of 100 feathers, throw them up in the air, and each one represents a false story, and I come back the next day and try to find all 100 to recover them and make sure all the false stories are cleaned up and done away with, I'll never find all 100 feathers. And so it is with the mainstream media now on social trending items. I'm specifically referring to a piece of video which had come to me from someone with a Defense Department group. And they also acknowledged that they weren't sure, but they wanted to share it with me. And as we began looking, in the beginning, as I'm watching it on a small screen on my phone, I can't make out a lot of it. And I sent it on to Quentin last night and posing on his night to please put it up on Facebook. And when he took a look at it, along with our other director, Lucas, they said, they're seeing indications it looks like it's fake. And I repeated some of the remarks the guy told me that was some of the smoke and everything coming is supposed to be lava coming toward you, a lava, volcanic dust, ash, things of this nature. And they said, well, we still don't think it's real. Well, of course, the more you get a chance to dig into it, then we do find out, yeah, it's been put together as some CGI video, and it's been done very well. It's built on a real case, the volcanic island on White Island in New Zealand's northeastern Bay of Plenty exploded the 9th of December, 2019. At least 47 were known to be on the island at the time. 20 were killed, 2 missing, presumed dead. Another 27 suffered injuries, many with severe burns. And in fact, there was a cruise ship in the area that had allowed folks to visit the island on one of the guest boats. So they were taking a little tour. They were going around the island. Some had just left the island when suddenly it happened. The White Island tour operating through various alert levels, but passengers were always told, hey, we'll keep you safe. And then all of a sudden it hits. And what they ended up doing on that tour boat is trying to pick up people from the shore as best they could, take care of them, throwing water bottles, jackets, other things, using eye drops, trying to clean their eyes out for them to help them. 3 commercial helicopter pilots were nearby. They grabbed some of the survivors, but they could not find everyone, as I said. The video is posted right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook, and the video purporting to be the actual explosion as seen from a still camera on New Zealand. And it explains what's happening. It does look like end of the world type footage. It does. And on one hand, you think it's real as it can be, and it certainly has all that impression. I mean, the things that can be done now. That's why it's good to take a close look at these from time to time. Forbes magazine, I also found a writing piece from Forbes. In fact, Bill Cleveland, a listener of this program and following as well, had also noted it, and he had sent it to me, and I about the same time I was finding it, and pointing out that the writer was saying that you've got to quit this because folks are seeing this and they think it's for real. And it hurts and damages those who had to relive it again. Well, obviously, if you had been a victim of that or lost a loved one in it, you don't want to see something of this nature again, and you don't like it created as a something just to sensational, because it's sensational on value anyway. But the only real good thing about this is that it is, again, calling attention to the danger of being near volcanoes when these alerts are posted. And the Ovation of the Seas, the cruise ship that was nearby, had some passengers that they lost on that island. In fact, they had to delay departure as police were collecting DNA samples for the cabins of some of those passengers missing. And there was a video from a camera on looking down on the floor of the volcano in that region just minutes before it blew, showing numerous hikers that wanted to get closer. They'll never know and find all of them, obviously. Take a look at Larry Connors USA Facebook right now. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll see what we're talking about. Coming up the next hour, New York City Mayor de Blasio still defends his sanctuary policy. Still, after an illegal alien admits killing a 90-year-old woman. That's coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.